Blog Talk Radio.
We have today a guest speaker from out of Long Island, New York.
the name of Pastor Dawn Nixon, and we're excited to hear from her this evening. For those of you that tuned in by internet, if you would like to call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. And if you are by internet, you would type in Blog Talk Radio, and in the window type in We Can Begin Again, and that would connect you to us. If you have anything that you would like to share, being that we are an interactive Bible study, just push 1, and we will open up the mics for you. We're going to have prayer, then we're going to turn it over to Pastor Nixon for her talk on 1 Samuel. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we ask that we come on one accord. Father, we pray, Lord, that that we would hear a word from you, Heavenly Father. We open that you would open our minds, open our hearts, Heavenly Father, that we will be receptive to the word, Heavenly Father, that we would feed on it, and we'll just be sure to give you the praise. Father, we pray for the sick, that those who are going through trying times this time, Father, we just ask, Heavenly Father, for restoration. We ask, Heavenly Father, for comfort. We ask for peace. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we just give you the glory, all the honor, and the praise. Amen. Pastor Nixon, are you on? Potter on in order for it to be connected. Pastor Nixon, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Good to have you with us this evening. I'd like to take a minute and just share with the audience who you are, where you're from, your church, before we get started.
Sure. I am Pastor Nixon. I am the executive pastor of the Mount Calvary Holy Church here in Huntington, Long Island. We have been here in this place for 85 years, going on 85 years starting next September. And I have been ministering for the last 30 years. And we are in our Bible study class, and we're going to be dealing with 1 Samuel chapter 17.
Amen.
Amen. So we want to go ahead and, yes, sir. Pastor Clay?
We're turning everything over to you right now.
All right. Okay, we're going to 1 Samuel 17, and we're going to start at verse 1. We're going to try to get through the entire chapter today. It is a familiar passage of Scripture, and even though there is no new Bible, there is fresh revelation. And so we believe that God is going to say something to us where we can reach the treasures of God, that God will give us something that will give us a fresh revelation out of this word concerning David and Goliath. If I would take a topic for today, I would talk about the greater that is in you. And I believe we as people of God need to know that we are great, and God has caused us to be kings and princes and kings and queens in the body of Christ. And so we want to make sure that we know who we are. And David is a prime example in this particular text of letting us know that we can conquer all things. So we're going to 1 Samuel 17, verse 1, and it starts, "Now the Philistines gathered together their army to battle and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Ascah in Ephraim Desmond. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set a battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Verse 6, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried out unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? And in other words, he was asking them, why are you arranging, or why are you getting things in order? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. So let me stop there right now. So here we see in the text, Goliath is letting the armies of Israel know that I come to do battle. Now, you're setting things up in order, but I need somebody that's going to fight me. I need somebody who is strong enough, who is willing to go and fight, not just arrange. And so this was his way of taunting the children of Israel because he was so large, he was so big. And so he felt that he was going to intimidate them. So I want to share something with you in a spiritual matter because a lot of us, we get intimidated by things that we see that are larger than us. And when we see things that are larger than us, we automatically think that we cannot win over the battle. But when we have an understanding that there is greatness in us, for the Bible lets us know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so here is the Philistine Goliath who thinks because of his size, he would be considered in this day and time a bully. And we understand that bullies really don't get anywhere in life because they're oftentimes trying to intimidate other people when they really don't have as much as they think that they do. A lot of them have a lot of bark but no bite. And so while he has all his garment on and all these things that he had, you know, if you look at the text, you'll find that everything that he had matched from his, you know, from his head to his toes, he was matching. And so he came out to battle looking good. So it's not enough just to look good. You got to back up what you say. All right? And so he's up there trying to intimidate the Israelites. And so verse 9, he says, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that might fight, may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Can I tell you that at some point in time, as children of God, we have to realize who we really are with. We have to realize when you are a child of God, you don't have to back off everything that the enemy comes up against you with. We have learned in our Old Testament scriptures that when we realize that God says, when I am with you, when I go before you, or if he tells them that I'm going to go into battle with Israel, he says, and I will be with you. It is an automatic green light for them to go because they're going to win the battle. If God says, I'm not with you, and they don't hear a voice from God, then it's time for them to back off. So you've got to be very keen to the voice of God. You've got to know when God is speaking to you, when to go and when to stay. And so here, they are afraid. They're afraid of a bark and have not seen anything because they are intimidated. And so we've got to understand that there is greatness in us. I don't care what comes to your life. And we've dealt with many people who have dealt with sickness. As soon as we hear cancer, it sounds bigger than what God is. Can I tell you, there is nothing that is greater than God. There's nothing that can outbeat God because God is still a healer in 2013. He's still a deliverer in 2013. And so when we look at that, we often look at the the negative that, oh, we're going to die. Immediately we hear that. But when you realize that you are a victor and victorious, that if God is with you, he is more than the world that is against you. And so anything that is in the world, when we realize that God has designed our whole entire body, God is able, just like the three Hebrew boys said, even if he doesn't deliver us, it's not because he can't. He is well able to deliver us. And so I have to have the mindset that God is going to deliver us. So verse 12, let's look at David coming on the scene now. Now David was the son of an Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judea, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, the next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shema. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul. To feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening, presented himself 40 days, and Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephod of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shout for the battle. So I'm going to stop there for a second. Normally we go through the whole text and kind of share some things, but I don't want anybody who may have questions that we have during this part, because it's getting ready to get really good in these next coming verses. So if anybody has anything that they want to comment on this text that can enlighten us, you can do so at this time.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so we're going to continue. Verse 21, for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army, and David left his carriage in the hand of his keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the army of the Philistines, and spake according to the same word, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the men, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, that king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men, And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, what comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. All right, you know I have to stop right there. I have to stop right there. Because here, David is upset. But the thing about this is that it seems like the David is the only one that's upset. Everybody else is afraid. But the thing about it is his eldest brother, instead of saying, yeah, David, you're right, he says to him, what you come up here for? Yeah. You just came up here because you want to cause some problems. I know you. Mm. I know your pride. You think you're the man. So, and can I tell you, some people, you have to understand the confidence that you have that God has given you. When you conquered so many things in your life, your faith level increases. And so David comes with as a man who has increased faith. So he has the confidence that I don't care. He didn't even look at his size and blink. He didn't get nervous. He didn't get upset. He said, "Who is this guy? I think he can defy the armies of God. This we ain't just no regular army. This is God's army." And so can I tell you that sometimes the people who will try to discredit you are not the people that don't know you. The people that try to discredit you are the ones that live with you. The people that try to discredit you will be the ones that share bread with you. Because sometimes we can't see other people going further than us. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. When God is trying to take us to another level in him, it's sometimes your closest friend that tries to discourage you from moving further in God. And that's why sometimes you got to let things just be cut off. So let's see what David says to him. David says, why comest down here? He says, and whither whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Look, his brother said, aren't you supposed to be working? Who you leave the sheep with? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of heart. Let's go to verse 29. Watch this, what David says. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? In other words, can I not ask a question? It wasn't necessarily directed to Eliab. He was asking the men in the camp, who is this man that comes to defy the armies of Israel? And so he says, and watch this. Verse 30, watch what he does. And he turns. Oh, my God. Y'all don't even see a revelation in that verse right there. And he turns. Watch this. Sometimes you got to turn from negativeness. And he turns. Watch this. He says, I'm not even going to deal with this. I'm not going to answer this right here. Because, and he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Anybody got any questions right there that you want to elaborate on that? I'm telling you, I'm stuck on he turned. My God, I'm stuck on his turn. Yes, Pastor, do we have anyone?
Just push one. Push one if you would like to comment. And you're listening in, just push one, and you will be mic'd in at this time. Amen, amen. A good message.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so let's go further. Let's go further. And when the word were heard, which David spake, and he rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for them. Watch this. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David was sure, not necessarily of himself, but David was sure of the God that was in him.
Hallelujah.
And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistines to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, he's about to give him his resume. David is about to give him his resume of battle. So David says unto him, thy servant kept his And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote it and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion, the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David sounds assured of what he is going to do. Watch this. In other words, he did it for me once. He did it for me twice. And this uncircumcised Philistine is nothing compared to what I've already been through. Watch this. Each level that he's gone to is greater than the last. But he does not get afraid of what he has been through in his past. But what it does, it takes him to that whatever comes before me, I've battled before, I'll battle again. And each time they come greater. Can I tell you that each thing that comes in your life is going to come greater? Yes. But if you did it once, you can do it again. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want y'all to get an understanding. I want us to understand that we is not not someone who just thinks they're so much of themselves. But when you have God on the inside, it brings a security that is greater than anything else. That's why you have an understanding that, yeah, I look at the face of danger and I know that God's got my back. You can have that type of security when you have relationships.
Yeah.
I talk about this all the time. You have to have relationship with God. Before you start going out onto battle, that's why a lot of people walk away and are afraid. That's why a lot of people are leaving churches. That's why a lot of people are not secure in their relationship with God, because there is no relationship. In order for there to be relationship, there has to be communication.
Amen.
And when you start thinking about the last time you commune with God, sometimes the last time we communed with God was the last issue we had. If you can only commune with God with your last issue, your last problem, when you can only go to God and use God as somebody that works out your problem when you're in trouble but can't talk to him no other time, when things are only good, when things are only happy, that's when you're just going and doing what you want. But when trouble comes,
that's
when we call him. Can I tell you, they wouldn't even let us pray in 9/11 in schools, but when 9/11 showed up, they were praying in school. And then they went to as business as usual. Oh, my God. So we've got to understand that God is not a God that can be just a used God. We can't use him. He's not a user. So he gets hit to that game. God, you can hide stuff from everybody else. You can use other people, but God realized he can see what you're doing. He formed you and made you. He knew what you were going to do before you got here. He knew what you were going to do once you did get here, and he knows what was going to happen to you in your future. So you're not keeping secrets from God.
Yes.
My God.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
Anybody have any comments,
That's
any
right.
questions? Yeah. I feel like having church right now.
Yes.
I feel like having church. Pastor Clay, I'm trying. All right. 37. So David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go." And the Lord said, "Be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he said to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with thee, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him. Now, I'm going to stop right here because there's a revelation right here in this verse. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, whenever people kind of deal with this particular text and David putting on the armor, it talks about David being in his youth. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when people see this, they say he couldn't fit it. They thought the armor was too big for him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But David never said, I can't fit this. Mm-hmm. He said, I can't prove it. In another version of the Bible, he said, I'm not used to this.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. it wasn't that he couldn't fit it. This mm-hmm. wasn't the stuff he went to battle with. This is not what he used to work with when he goes to battle. So it wasn't that David couldn't fit it. He just wasn't used to the stuff that they used.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to go and use what you're accustomed using.
Amen.
Somebody got to say something right here. You got to understand, if I'm not used to working with a sword, then that is not going to be the instrument of choice.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not used to working with a shield, that's not my instrument of choice. So I got to do what I know to do in order to win this battle. See, because this is not a good time to change up. See, it's just like somebody who's a singer who practiced certain ways of singing. And you can't say to me, if I'm used to singing gospel, to sing an opera song. I'm not used to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to go before a bunch of people trying to sing opera when I know my background is gospel.
Right.
Okay.
Because then I'm going to look crazy to everybody else, and I know, watch this, I'm going to fail. Because I'm not used to it. So David was not used to the armor that Saul was putting on him, because this is what they're used to going to battle, and this is what they know to protect them.
Right, right.
But David said, I ain't have that when I fought the lion.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have, yes, lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my. So you got to understand that I'm not used to this, because this is not how I did it before.
Right.
All right. Verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disband him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. Now, he wasn't cleaned up because he was out in the field, but he was good looking.
Mm-hmm.
And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staff? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Now, you done messed up now. Because if you thought David was mad before, he's really mad. I don't know about anybody else. Maybe it's just me. You can mess with a lot of things. You can talk about a few people in my life. And I may not go off. But it's something about when you talk about Jesus.
Yes,
when
yes,
you
yes.
try to downplay who he is. When you want to take the Christ out of Christmas. And you want to take the reason why we celebrate God. Then I have a problem with you. When you want to come against me and talk about my God, that is that's fighting words. He hit David right where it hurt. Yes. Which caused David to really get angry. See, you got to understand, you can't fight really until you get yourself angry enough. Oh, my God. Can I tell you, I'm at the point where the devil has made me mad enough That's why I praise God the way I praise him. That's why I dance the way I dance. That's why I lift up his name. That's why I live the way I live, because the devil has made me so mad, and I know the only way I can get him back is by praising him. Can I tell you that when you praise God, it cramps the activity of the devil, because where God is, the devil cannot live. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. So inhabit means to live or to dwell. If God is there, then Satan cannot live there. That means Satan has to be evicted out of my praise when I start praising God. So that's why when I praise him, can I tell you, that's why you got to come ready to come to church on Sunday morning, whenever the doors open, ready with the praise. Why? Because that's what causes the devil to back up on you.
Yes.
You can't get this. Look, the devil knows if he can keep your mouth closed, he can close doors for you. But can I tell you, if you open up your mouth, when you open up your mouth, it causes the things of God. It causes God to send things to your rescue. He sends angels to your rescue when you open up your mouth. How in the world? Oh my God! It's just like somebody, I say this all the time. When you're in the ocean and you have you're stranded there, you don't say, "Somebody come and help me." You scream help as loud as you can because you want somebody to hear you. I need the devil to know that he's got to back up off me in this battle, in this spiritual battle that we're going through. When we look at what the world is going through, you better start learning how to open up your mouth and have communication with God.
Hallelujah.
So that's why I praise him, because that's what I'm used to. That's why I glorify him, because that's what I'm used to. That's why I pray, because that's what I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to go to battle with the devil.
Yes.
You can't play no games.
Yes.
You can't play no games when it comes to that. Y'all help me where I'm at. Where I'm at. 44.
Mm.
And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." What? That changed everything. It changed everything. You coming to me with things of the world, but I got somebody within me that's greater than any weapon that you have. Listen, didn't I say before that when you know, when God said, "I am with Israel, go forth, for I am with you. For the Lord thy God is with you." Here David says, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." How many people know in the name of the Lord, things have to shift, things have to move. There's power in the name of the Lord. See now, see, and watch this. David is not the only one that has access to use the name. Watch this. David realizes who he is and whose he is. When you start realizing who you are and whose you are, and you have to realize that you have access to the name of Jesus. Now, can I tell you, everybody that uses don't work for everybody. You have to have the authority to use the name.
Amen.
So he says, "Come to you in the name of the Lord, host, and the God of the armies of Israel, who thou hast defied." I'm coming to you with the one that you've been defying, the one you said you're going to do this to and you're going to do that to.
Mm-hmm.
But this, verse 46, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thy carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowl of the air."
Mm-hmm.
See, now the first time, Goliath was talking junk, and he said what he said. He said he told David he won't give it what he was going to do with him. Now it's David's turn. Mm. You can't be in a battle and don't talk junk. Anybody who's ever watched a boxing match, prior to the boxing match, they have interviews, and they ask different questions about what they think about the other fighter.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, "Well, I think he's going to beat me." You've already been defeated.
Right.
You got to come with the confidence knowing that when I go into this ring, I'm coming out champion. And look, You have to see here, Goliath is known as a champion. When Goliath comes on the scene in this text, they announce him as a champion. But when they look at David, they don't know who David is because they don't know his resume. Can I tell you that God has certain people that he has set aside that don't nobody know their name, they don't know where they come from, but God has made them champions. And can I tell you, just because you don't know who they are, I call them the non-name brand Christian. Because just because you don't know me, I say this all the time, I use this analogy all the time. When we have a store here called Pathmark in Long Island, and there's an aisle in Pathmark called the No Frills Aisle. It's an aisle that has no name brands in it. Can I tell you that in that no name brand, there are things in that lane that have the same contents of those that have a name. But a lot of people overlook them because they don't have no name. Can I tell you that God is about to raise people up that don't have a name that nobody ever heard of, but you got the same power? Oh, my God. Goliath doesn't realize he's about to face an appointment with even greater power than him because he's unknown to him. Anybody got something to say right there?
Well, I don't know where you are there on that part, because Goliath was talking junk, but David was, I think he was testifying, if you ask me, before, well, my God has power, this and that, so he was already letting him know, basically, it's not my battle with God. So,
right, and that's true. What she's saying is that David let them know ahead of time that this battle is not mine. I'm just using it as a vessel.
Amen.
Can I tell you, you can't have a big head when you're really not doing the job. It is the one that is in you that's doing the work.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say, I preached that sermon today. Oh, I sang that song today. It was the anointing of God. I've heard people who could not sing. But when they got up with the anointing of God, it just, the church exploded. Why? Because when the anointed is added to the gift, David was gifted. Now the anointing follows the gift.
Yeah.
All right. So Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air, I'm at the end of 46, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he's not saving with the stuff y'all used to. Oh, my God. He's getting ready to do something different. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So I'm not doing this on my own might. As Sister Jennifer said, I'm doing this because of the power of God.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else want to comment on that or piggyback on that? That's online.
Amen. Any comments? 216s, the 111s. Anyone online would like to make a comment? Please do.
I think also it relates very much to the relationship that David had with God. And it's like a person who was 5'10". Trying to wear a size of 27 shoe, it's a hindrance in walking and running or doing battle. He didn't need the armament; it was going to be a hindrance to him. But what he needed and what he had was, you know, God by his side. So he was more than prepared to fight that battle, no matter what armament Goliath had. He had something greater. He had God by his side.
Right. 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 So that's something that we have to understand. I'm going to share this with you because y'all cannot see me, but I am 4'11", and I'm giving myself. No, I'm really 4'11". I'm 4'11", but I don't walk as somebody who's defeated.
Uh-huh.
Because when I see me, I don't see my height. Y'all see my height. I see that I can conquer anything, no matter what my size is.
Amen.
And so Amen. When we start taking a spiritual look at it that way, that no matter how small I look in front of my circumstances, when I add God to it,
I'm
bigger than any situation. Oh, my God.
Right.
You can't be bigger than God.
Yes, right.
Circumstances can't be bigger than God.
Yes.
Sickness can't be bigger than God.
Yes.
We have to understand that there's greatness in us. I'm gonna write this on you because a lot of I've never seen so many different Christians who are walking around in depression, and it's something where we really need to pray. We really need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for one another because we have been put in a place where we feel defeated all the time. You can't be defeated all the time. Now watch this. I may not win every battle, but I'm always victorious. Why? Because I already know at the end of all of it, I've already won. I'm just going through what I have to go through, but I'm already a winner. So you have to have the mindset. We have to keep that prayer because that's something where the enemy will try to use your emotions and your feelings. And I say this all the time. You cannot allow your emotions and your feelings to override your godly knowledge. I don't care if I feel bad. I don't care if I'm in a place where I'm low. I feel it, and sometimes I see it. But what I know is greater than what I feel. And that some people may not understand that. See, that's where faith shows up.
Right.
Because I don't get moved by what I feel or by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe, and I believe God. So what I believe is greater than what I feel. And it's contradictive to a lot of people say that don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You can't let nothing take you away. Yes.
Amen.
Just come a little closer so they can hear you. No, come closer. Because I know I'm not going to be able to repeat it. This is Sister Jennifer who's going to share a comment.
Thank you very much.
And to me, 2 + 2 = 4. And being a teacher, everything has to have a rhyme or reason. But until I really submerged myself and started, it was hard for me to get to the point of praising until I had to understand faith. And when I really started to do that, the blessings were, I can't even put, just unreal, because I just had to have faith. I had to believe. And when I started doing that, life has been just amazing.
Yeah. So you gotta see. You can't go by what you see. You gotta trust God.
Amen.
You can't trace him. You gotta trust him.
I can't see.
Yes, even when you don't feel him.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a comment, Pastor Clay?
Amen, amen. And that constitutes faith. Amen. There's a comment that said that constitutes faith.
Yes, it constitutes faith. Faith. Amen. We want to try to finish this up because I don't know if I'm going to make it to the end, but we want to try to get what we can in here because it's 48. So, verse 48, and it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. Look, he didn't run away. He ran toward. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Look, David hit him in his weakest point. David got him into a place where he could knock him out with a sling and a stone, because that's what he's used to. So he it's amazing because as tall as Goliath is, can I tell you, God gave the stone direction?
That's right.
Because think about all the armor he had on.
Mm-hmm.
He's covered except between his eyes. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. If I can get the head of the thing out of commission, I can take down the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why you got to understand. That's why the devil goes and he goes after leaders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if I can get the leader, I can take down the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to pray for leadership.
Yeah.
Amen.
Must be. You must have them in your prayers. All right. So watch this. And he fell upon his face to the earth. Goliath got knocked out. Watch this. After all that junk he was talking, the first phase of David's speech came into fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I have to bring you down to where I am. Because I can't climb up to where you are. Because if I climb up where you are, you can grab me and you can hold me. But if I can get you to where I am, oh, my God, if I can get my enemy on my turf, if I can get my enemy on my territory, if I can let the enemy get where I get to praise God and in that realm of anointing of God, I can take you out. So David, David brings him down. Verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and he smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in his hand, because that ain't what he was used to. And therefore David ran, watch this, and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword. There's a revelation about to pop right here. And drew it out of the stiff. Sith of therefore, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now, I know somebody got to say something here. Can I say something right here? Can I tell you the things that the enemy is trying to use against you are going to be the very things that they're going to backfire, and you're going to take them out with. David didn't have no sword. David comes and he uses his own enemy's sword and acts out everything that he said he would do with him. He used his own weapons against him. That's a messed up thing. When you got to use your own enemy's weapons, that makes you look even worse. Because all I had was a sling and a stone. But I took you out with the very thing you said was going to take me out. Can I tell you, there's a boomerang effect that happens when the enemy starts throwing stuff at you. Can I tell you, when I praise God, it blocks off everything that the enemy tries to destroy me with, and it comes back after my enemy. So everything, that's why you can't get upset. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret, because everything, every part of the devil that tries to come against you, it will not happen. The Bible lets us know every weapon that is formed against us will not prosper. You may form it, but it will not work against me. What? And the very weapon that you use is going to be the very weapon that's going to take you out. So do not fear your enemy. Do not fear the things that come against you spiritually. You have to make sure that you stay focused in the word and in the will of God, because it closes everything that tries to come against you. Can I tell you, it wasn't just Job that had a hedge of protection around him. God has been, that's why some of you are still here right now. It's because God's been covering you the whole time. Can I tell you, back in the day, the mothers used to say, we thank God, and when they would pray, they would thank you, God, for danger seen and unseen. Oh, my God, I thank God for the stuff that I didn't even know that he saved me from.
Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah.
Not just the stuff that I know about. You need to thank God for the stuff that you didn't never, that never even came your direction, because he did not allow it to be so.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm telling you. My God, my God. Thank you, Jesus.
What a word.
David ran up. ran and stood upon, we're going to close at verse 51. And the Philistine took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled.
Mm.
Watch this. And the men, we're going to finish 52. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines unto thou come to the valley and to the gate of Ekron. Watch this. Y'all notice something? When Goliath was killed, it shifted everything because now the Philistines are running.
Mm-hmm.
But watch this. It ignited the army of Israel.
Yeah.
Because instead of Israel running away from them, they started running to them.
Mm.
Because they are already victorious.
Yes.
See, all you need is one person.
Yes.
One person to get the revelation. That we can take over our enemies. We can take over the enemy. And can I tell you, when everybody catch hold of it, I just need one. I just need one. I just need one. So let's say this. I'm going to share this with you, and then I'm going to give these last few minutes for anybody who wants to say something who is on the line or on the internet. David had 5 smooth stones. Somebody said, well, why did he have all those stones? He had one for Goliath, and he had the other 4 for his other brothers. Can I tell you? It wasn't David was going to miss on the first shot. He had the other ones in there just in case their brothers, his brothers, decide that they are not going to learn their lesson by looking at what I've done to your brother. So just in case you want to come and defy me too, I got something for you too. So you need to let your enemy know that everything that's attached to the enemy, everything that's hooked up with him, I got something for him, and I got something for everybody that's connected to you. Amen. Let's give God a hand praise. Amen. Pastor Slay, we're going to turn it back into your hands, sir.
Hallelujah. What a mighty word. What a mighty word. Anyone on that would like to make a comment, just hit 1, and we'll just spot you in. Any of the 216s, the 111s, any of the 631s, anyone like to make a comment? Just hit 1.
I think as we're faced with challenges, we have to maintain our faith no matter what. And your faith in God, that he's with us and he's going to watch out for us and not succumb to circumstances and beliefs that we're going to fail.
Amen. Amen.
Financial issues, any kind of issue, God is with you. God is with you, and he's with you. If you have faith in him and a relationship, you'll go forward.
Amen.
You'll conquer whatever demon or a challenger that is not before you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
We do thank you, Pastor Mixon, for sharing with us a mighty, mighty word. We've all enjoyed it. The lines are lit up. I think everyone is just enjoying what you had to share with us this evening. We do we continue to pray for your ministry, and we would definitely like to invite you back again to share a word with us. We do have maybe about 60 seconds left, and then we're going to be tuning out. But for those of you who took in to every Wednesday at 7 o'clock at New Beginnings Ministry, Block Talk Radio, and you just tune in, and we just love to invite you to be a part of this opportunity, this interactive Bible study. We're going to close out right now. We love you, but remember, God loves you most. Pastor Mixon, again, thank you so much, and God bless you.
Bless you, sir.
Uh-huh.